podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Yeah! Back in the building, fresh from Wembley. I don't even know. Where's the place where you were, Spence?
We was at the Fairfield Halls in Croydon.
Oh, yeah.
And as Tundi keeps on telling man, to dream it, believe it, become it. We have to. Four years ago.
Let's start the show properly.
Right, cool.
In the magical words, the now famous words, we introduce and open the show with the preamble. Dream it, believe it, become it.
Coming up. And I want man to know that we are... Well, we're coming up because we're on the rise. Now, from now on, anyone talking about this show, it's the award-winning Fight Right podcast.
As we won
last night, right? And out of the 4,000 people that voted, right? Of the esteemed members, the 4,000 that voted, we got 1,997 of the votes. And that is down to you people who are down on the Fighters Right, or when Tundi's saying, make sure you vote for us. Man, like, too much guys to big up. I have to big up Bobby Wright, because Bobby Wright was gonna, like, was having a baby. Every minute he's sending me messages, like, what's happening? Have you won yet? What's going on? You know what I mean? So, big up Bobby Wright, big up Country Don, Damien Charles, yeah, I mean, BK Better Life, Duke Alexander, thank you for you start the thing already for the, what's that, 14 Czar, Love Digity, Spencer, welcome back, Grapehead. Listen.
Come on, I'm back. You know, I've got to come back. There's a few weeks out, and it is definitely, I mean, my eyes are still red. I literally have had 1 hour sleep.
Tundi. Your eyes have been red since last week.
I'm telling you, just to study. You know, we're studying. It all looks easy with a couple minutes blowout, but you work so hard for so many weeks for that outcome, really. You know, that I've always said I'd rather it finish early than have a long night. And so, you know, congratulations to Mr. Anthony Yard last night. And yeah, we're back on the horse straight away. Back from Wembley, come down as Anthony was disposing of his opponent. You were in the Fairfields Hall picking up that's our first award actually.
It's our first award as a collective for Stamina for Sale. We've both got individual awards in the past, but it's the first. It's going to be the first of many because I'm just going to keep this thing real. They can't ignore us because we're not asking for anybody's validation. And the reason why it is, I want people to realize this, is like myself and Baba Tundi Ajayi, we actually work from value. We are not striving for it. We work from value because we realize the value is within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So massive big up to everybody who was out last night. Tun, the place was like some dance. It was mad. Everybody was black tied off. It was beautiful to see. Richard Blackwood done a great job hosting. Johnny Nelson got a lifetime achievement award. Omar got an award as well for lifetime achievement in music. He performed as well. Come on. When Omar sung that, he smashed it to bits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, Slim got an award as well. Remember Freddy Krueger?
Me and Freddy went college.
You went college, yeah?
Me and Freddy used to be in the common room just chatting. Man was just chatting to girl in the common room. Yeah, me and Freddy go a long way back, and it's great. You know, we were just young lads.
Because you know he's a film producer now, right?
Yeah, he's a film producer.
Yeah, so he got an award for a film.
Yeah, done a lot of great work. I remember me, him, and a girl called Laurel. We always used to be in a common room. We're supposed to be in the lessons. Man was just there, just dreaming about the future and what we could become. And it's not a downplay on education. I do believe education is the most important thing because education gives you options. But for us, I think we're living testimonies that you can actually dream something, write it down on a piece of paper and make it happen. And when I see Freddie and all that he's achieved, it really brings a smile to my face. And all of us, you know, we're all doing things and we're all coming from certain environments. So there really is no excuse. If you don't have, you know, not everybody has the money to send their children to private schools and what have you. But dreams cost nothing. Dreams cost nothing. That's why I say dream it. Believe what you've dreamed and then go out there and grab it. You have to work hard. You have to focus. You have to put all your attention into the thing it is you say you want. It's not 20%, 30%, 50%. Put everything. Play the game as though there is no other option. And we've seen it. We've seen what can happen. And my brother from another mother. Yeah, man, we're moving. Don't let me get too philosophical. I ain't gonna lie to you.
What you
see? Don't let me get too philosophical because you know how this thing goes.
No. When, like, so let me just say for everyone of the Charles Gordon Golden Lion Awards 2023, and we got for Best Press and Media Outlet Excellence Award, right? So it's a big start. And the award was given to me by the founder of the Gleaner newspaper. You know what I mean? So,
what's the name of the founder, Spence?
I've forgotten his name, you know. Ain't gonna lie to you.
Sine Sunderland, PSV, thank you for the £2. Chat was get zanged. Big up Tunde and AY and Spence. Thank you for the £2. So we're going to get into the boxing talk.
Yeah.
That's the main
thing. Yeah, definitely. And thank you for the £2. But no, I have to big up this here simply because, and Tunde's seen the videos, the noise that the amount of people that watch this show is ridiculous. Right? Because when they called our name in the lineup, yes? Mm. I said, Tunde Jaime Spencer Ferrell, the fight is right. Yeah. Tunde, it's bare gunshots in the place, bro.
Come on, love that.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it was just, like I said, it was just nice. It's a blessing to get awarded, but we're just going to keep on grafting. And that's that. Simple as
absolutely.
That. But Tunde, yesterday, I'm surprised that you and Annie Yale ain't been arrested for beating on that poor man like that.
Bro, you know what? Bro, boxing is a brutal sport. And, you know, to not really, you know, I hate talking about Anthony and myself because I just like to talk about boxing as a general. But obviously, he just fought last night. But, you know, I had to go and go over to the opponent afterwards and I really had to thank him for having the kahunas to jump in at late notice. You know, it's the same for both of us. We are fighting someone we didn't expect to fight. And this man took the fight on literally 2 days' notice, you know, flew in from Portugal with his missus, who is an Olympian. I've done my research. Well, I got my private investigator. I don't want to call her name on the thing. But she done the research. The fighter, Jorge Silva, his missus is an Olympian and a professional as well. One of the most promising fighters to come out of Africa. This time she's a serious fighter. So she was actually in the corner last night. So she actually came into the dressing room to officiate, to look over the hands being wrapped and everything like that. I see when she coming, I'm like, you okay? How you doing? Like, yeah. Because I see, like, well, it was a job too much. And so when Ant lick up the man, broke up the man, when Ant thumped the man with the right hand, and the fight was duly ended, I went over to them, I just thanked him, and I said, thank you for the opportunity. And you know, listen. And he said to me, it's your fault. the brother said, it's my fault that Ant beat him up. I said, nah, don't try to put that on me. It's not my fault. It's Andy punching you. But yeah, they were a great team, and I wish them all the best. And yeah, all the success to Jorge Silva and his wife, I don't know if it's his wife or girlfriend or whatever you want to call it.
Totally, you still haven't answered the question. How come you two never got arrested?
Bro, we're not getting it. Bro, boxing is legalized brutality. It's the only sport where you are legally allowed to render your opponent unconscious. And this is what I always say. This sport is not a joke, fam. It's like, it's not, it ain't tiddlywinks. It's a very, very serious sport. So that's Anthony out of the way. Not out of the way, but that's all we have to say on Anthony's victory. Well done, Anthony. We're back in it. And we will speak about, you know, what's next for Ant. But I really want to move on to this Zhang Joyce.
Tundi, all right, before we... What did I say to you prior to the fight?
What did I say to you?
No.
We both said to each other, there's no way, in our opinion, that Joe was going to win the fight. But I always said I feel the fight. And, you know, even with the Boxing King media, Raz interviewed me in the changing room because we were still in the chair, we wasn't allowed to leave because, you know, the VADA testing, drug testing and what have you after the fight. And Raz was speaking to me and I said, listen, Joe's my man. I'm always backing Joe Joyce. But I just think stylistically, it was you even said that to me. Stylistically,
it's all wrong for him.
The last performance, it's the wrong type of fight for Joe. I, in that interview, said the fight was going to end early. So it was that kind of fight. Before we go on, Spence, thank you, Sugar Ray, for the £5. He said you were very quiet in the TNT interview before and after the fight, unlike now. Well done on the win. Any future fights for Anthony? We will touch on that. The reason why I'm quiet now, because there's no need to talk. It's literally, you know, that was the thing where a lot of haters and naysayers like to harper on about in the past. Oh, Tundi thinks it's all about him. Well, it's just silly to even think that. Because I'm not the main man. I'm here to promote, manage, train, and enhance my fight. So I have to talk. When these other man, certain man whose name I don't want to call, when they're talking, no one ain't got nothing to say. So when I'm talking, there, for some reason, is an issue. I don't even want to get into that. But that's why I save my tongue for my own platform. So nobody can't twist up the narrative. No one can't put a headline which say something that I didn't say. I think that's the beauty of having your own platform, Spence.
Yeah, come on. Listen, the beauty of having your own platform is because you'll get 2,000 people in attendance. You have to wheel you off when they announce the fight is right as one near a wood. So that's the beauty of having... No, for real. That's it. And we was up against some strong contenders. Someone from Sky TV. We had someone from the BBC and their thing. No, bro. People have spoken. That's why...
All right. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts of Chinese... But I wish I filmed it. So we come out the thing now. We came out the stadium.
Pardon me, Tundi? Explain to me.
We came out the stadium. All Chinese fans there. All waiting for Ziliang Zhang to come out. So me now, you know me, I'm a bubbly kind of character. So I come out now. We come out the door. All of us, we come out the door. And I went, Chinese power! And all of them, Chinese, bro. Oh, Spencer, it was a sight to behold. I wish we filmed that part there. The whole of the crew, I led the way. I said, Chinese power. And all of them, Chinese power. I said, you see?
Look at the little sellout. Tony's a sellout.
No. I should have said Nigeria power. But, bro, the jollof weren't working that night there. The jollof weren't working that night there. But it was a serious sight to behold. You know, Tony, seeing all of...
Tony, I heard...
You got to remember, when you get in there, it's two combatants. But, you know, a lot of these young men are fighting culturally for something. You know, Ziliang Zhang is aiming to become the first ever Chinese heavyweight champion.
Exactly.
There's never been a Chinese heavyweight champion.
Tundi, there's never been a Chinese heavyweight contender who has challenged for the world title.
Yeah,
right.
And I'm telling you, you know the Chinese, they walk with their head low, but they were really on song last night, and they gave him powers, and he was motivated, and let's talk about the fight technically from a technical standpoint.
Well, Tundi,
I know what you said to me before, but why, Spencer, in your expert opinion?
When I was seen for this fight, and I have to big up Spencer Oliver as well, because like Spencer Oliver fought me on the Thursday. It was like, nah, Spenny, could we call him Spenny? Could we both call Spencer? Like, nah, Spenny, my boy, Spenny. He goes, nah. He goes to me, but nah. But the thing is, because I like Joe so much, I don't want to say that he's going to lose, but I don't think he's going to win. And that's that is the problem that you have when you are at a point when people talk boxing and you know the person, so you think they're not going to come up. They're going to come up second best, but you don't want to say, oh, you're going to come up second best because there could be some grievance or all the rest of it. I get that. I totally get that. But you know me, certain times I shoot with my hip too much. But I saw when we're looking at it was the fact like he's fighting a southpaw.
Yes.
Right? He's fighting a southpaw and he's doing this cross arm defense kind of thing. Yeah. Which is leaving himself open for the straight left hand, right? But it's also leaving him open to the right hook. So he was like, I'm not saying that Joe Joyce doesn't know what he's doing. What I do realize is that I think the plyometrics of his body is not actually doing what it should be doing, because you've seen him, he can do, what's that Caballero, that
Brazilian.
He can do all of those things, jump in the air, spin around and all the rest of it, but it doesn't seem to be transferable into his fighting style, because he fights very robotic and very stiff, right? Yes. He's got that methodical way of boxing, like I was saying. Back in 1989, there was a guy called Chris Henry who was just as tough as old boots, ton. And Joe Joyce, like, is taking a leaf out of his book and he methodically just march you down and weigh you down. After a while, that's good. But I keep on saying that water can erode rock. So you getting all them, and not only that, oh, that's your style. You're taking them shots in the fights, wearing down guys. So what about sparring? So you don't think that's going to take its toll as well? Right. So all of these things. So then all of a sudden now, okay, well, what we're going to do now, we're going to try and teach an old dog new tricks, but we're not going to teach them new tricks over a duration of time. We're going to teach them new tricks in the duration of time that we have to prepare for a fight, and a fight that you got stopped in the last time. And when you get stopped and you have a loss, especially when it's your first professional loss, when you're riding on this massive crest wave, and I ain't going to lie to you, like, we didn't buy the hype. That hype, as far as I'm concerned, was genuine, because nobody hasn't done to Joseph Parker what he did to Joseph Parker.
And Takam.
Yes. Right? So when I'm watching that, I'm saying this brother is no joke. But because he's trading on toughness too much, there's all you're going to get a man tougher than you. And you're also going to get somebody who is more fluid. Yes. And Zhang got better fluidity than Joe Joyce. So when Joe Joyce is trying to do his, it looked mad, didn't it? And like, he can be timed. And he got timed with a southpaw left-hand power shot counter. And he also got timed with the right hook from the southpaw position. And those shot, and they were hurting him. He got clapped in the second round. He was hurt. He was badly buzzed in the second round. I watched the fight. I said, box cover. Nah, man.
Well, first and foremost, let me say this. Boxing is the most unforgiving sport on the planet. Boxing is a sport which I love dearly, but it's a sport where sometimes I really have to sit back and say to myself, fam, you man are just liars. it's like, less than a year ago, everybody was Joe Joyce fans.
Come on. Talk the team.
Everybody was screaming, Juggernaut, Joe the Juggernaut, the greatest fighter, heavyweight. Man was talking about him like he's going to brock up AJ, he'll do Wilder and everything.
Talk the team.
Less than a year, you see these same brothers, and I'm sorry to speak like this, but you see these same people now calling for man's retirement.
Crazy. Because Joe Joy should not retire.
Yeah, saying that he's done, he's this, he's that. And that's the part where I try so much to not focus on in boxing, because it's horrible, Spence. You know, God bless his mum. After our fight, obviously, when, you know, we was doing the interviews and stuff, and I went over to the mum and said, hi, auntie, you understand? She said, oh, Tundi, you get what I'm saying? I said, mummy, I'm going to get dressed, come out there, and give Joe all my positive energy. And she said, oh, thank you, son, thank you. God bless you, God bless you. And I just, like, I was with Joe this morning when we was checking out of the hotel. And, you know, Joe was looking at me, and I was like, because I was coming from the car park, walking back into the hotel, and Joe was looking at me, and I was like, I know he's like looking, he's, you know, obviously I'm going to go over to him. And I sat there and I said, Joe, believe me, brother, I know exactly how you feel. You know, all you do, Joe, you take time off with you and your family. When Ant lost, he went away with his family. He rejuvenated and he came back. Don't listen to what people are saying on the outside. They're all fake. They're all negative.
Come on.
You know, and they all like to jump on this thing when everything's running and moving high. And then as soon as you have one downfall, you know, you are the worst thing that's ever come into boxing, and everyone's calling for your retirement. What you do, Joe, you go on holiday, you take your family on holiday, you rest, you get the good sun, you get that vitamin D on you, and you come back again. All it was this, Joe. Ziliang Zhang is your bogeyman. You can't beat Ziliang Zhang. You can have me in the corner. Let's just, before I'm talking about next man, you can have me in the corner. You can have, if it was me, there's a good possibility of one, but he could have Emmanuel Stewart in the corner, Angelo Dundee. In boxing, every fighter has a bogeyman. If you take on the challenge when it's there, Joe Joyce did not need to fight Ziliang Zhang in the first place.
Tun, you know the amazing thing. Do you remember when I did the one on one with John Fury? And Mary said,
yeah,
Who would have picked him? Zili Zhang, who would have picked him? Why'd you pick him?
Bro, this brother, sorry, this man, Ziliang Zhang, not only has he got speed, not only has he got power, the guy has IQ, Spencer.
Tun, he's very clever, you know?
The guy is very clever.
Very clever.
He's got a spot. I was messaging his trainer, Sean George, to come on the thing today, but he didn't get back to me, you know, obviously, I know why, but let me see. Oh, wow, hold on. No, he hasn't got back to me. But, you know, Ziliang Zhang is near enough a complete fighter. And if you look at it on the rules, he's still actually undefeated. Because
in my
opinion, in your opinion, and many opinion, he beat Hergovich. So if you're the interim, remember, when you're people talk about there's no belt on the line, what are you talking about? It's an interim title. That means if the guy who's got to fight you next don't fight, you're the world champion.
Yeah.
So in reality, Joe had the world title in his hands. Now, for whatever reason, his management, because it's not Joe. I'm just going to keep it real. Before I go further, thank you, Drew Alexander, for the 35 czar. Was Joyce's game plan to get through the first 5 or 6 rounds until Zhang began to fatigue and then take over? Was the very quick turnaround to the eye injury a problem? Again, 2 points that we all...
Very valid. Because you saw Zhang say the eye. Well, maybe you never, because you was doing your interviews as well, right?
Yeah, but I saw that.
Zhang was going on about, the eye. And Joe like kind of rubbished it like, oh, he's going to come for my eye. Ooh, right? But that guy had a game plan, right?
Yeah.
And it was really properly administered. He had a very, very good game plan. And not only that, it's like, my heart goes out to Shane Watson. I've known Shane a long time since being a little kid. He works for the Juggernaut. But when the loss happened, these guys are young in boxing, Tun. I'm going to tell you now, right? And they're working off of emotions. Well, we just lost to him and like, yeah, don't worry. We'll come back and we'll beat him. We've got the rematch. We're going to come in. Nah, hold up a second now. People can say whatever they want to say about John Fury and all boxing, you know? Right? John Fury said to me, why are you taking the rematch? This is heavyweight boxing. All it takes is for one man to slip up, you're back in. Yeah? He should have taken that rematch. But yeah, I'm going to be real, he shouldn't, because that man was his bogeyman. And what made it worse is like, Zili Zhang had more confidence in this fight.
And that's what I wanted to ask Sean, because I wanted to ask him why they were so confident. And I've, you know, not only, remember, they said Zhang had, I think, 4 weeks out of the gym, and he's been training since. So I didn't click onto the video, but according to Derek Chisora, he said Joe never trained for this fight. Like, he said he might have belly and everything. So I don't know how true that is. I didn't ask Joe because it's not appropriate for me to ask
him. When especially after a defeat, you ain't gonna ask him.
This morning, he did say he's going away for 2 weeks and then he's gonna come back on the show. So, you know, listen, he seems to have accepted the defeat from what I gauged from him this morning. But, you know, listen, it's the day after the fight. And it has to be.
It was a bad defeat, though.
It was a bad defeat. It was a manner of the defeat. But again, I don't even know how Joe got up. I don't even know how Joe got up from that, because he looked out. Yeah, and he stood. He got up on his feet. And listen, is Joe? People talking about now again. People are so hypocritical in this thing here. Because I'm here, man. Oh, Yard's opponent was 40 years old. Hold on. How old is Zili Zhang?
41 now. He's 41.
Zili Zhang is 40 years old. Let me tell you something. Good diet. You're not burning weed and drinking Heineken every night. Fam. Sorry, stop saying fam, Sandy. This is ridiculous. Yeah. Listen, athletes are aging and lasting for much longer nowadays. Zili Zhang had the speed of a 20-year-old last night.
Totally. His hands are rapid.
It's not age. It's how you maintain your body. And what I noticed, because I said it on the interview in Queensbury a few days before, or the day before the fight, that I'm going to be honest, Jollof Joe's my man. I'm always going to back him under all circumstances. But I did watch the documentary on Zhang, and his team was solid, Spence. His team is solid. Spence is probably speaking to someone. I know he had Lennox on the line before that. But Zilian Zhang's team, they had the Lanes brothers, who are their managers and advisors, from what I understand, or advisors. They are the children of the great Mills Lane, the legendary referee. Spencer, I'm talking about the Lanes brothers.
I've listened to you. I just knew because I wanted to call you.
And then, so you got the Lanes brothers them in your corner, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Then we know Zhang's own experience. And did you know that his trainer, Sean George, is married to Lou Duva's daughter?
I didn't know that.
Hmm.
I mean, I didn't know that.
He's either married or he's seeing, but what I'm saying is that is a sip. That team is
that's some boxing. That is boxing.
That's boxing.
And you're forgetting that Sean George, he used to box. He's a good fighter, man.
Good fighter. You right? know, he was training Meng. I don't know if he still is, but that Meng, the other Chinese heavyweight contender. It's a good, solid team. And you got to remember, it's not a team that have left Zhang. They've been with him from the start.
Yeah.
From him coming to America. And it was just the wrong fight for Joe. And Zhang, not only is a spiritual man, but he's a spiteful assassin.
Brother, turn. A good fighter.
Where do you put Zhang now in the top 10 of the heavyweights, Spence?
In the top 10? He's up there, Tim. Right? Because he just repeated. And you got to give, listen, before he fought Joe Joyce, a lot of people had Joe Joyce number 3 heavyweight in the world, the third best heavyweight in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right, a lot of people had Joe Joyce number 3 or maybe number 4, right, as heavyweight in the world. So Zhang is up in the top. Zhang's properly cemented his place there, right? Mm. And I don't even want to say, oh, well, this guy will beat him and that guy will beat him. He has cemented his place. And even more so, why I like Zhang is when things go against you, like what happened to him against Hergovich, he didn't bitch and moan about it. They're often in the Joel Joyce fight, and Joel Joyce was coming in like some George Foreman business. Mm. And we smashed him, man. And he said, that's cool. I'm going to take it. And you know what I like? I like when people endear themselves to who they are culturally. I like that. Right? Mm. And Zili Zhang, when he was saying Chinese power, right? Yeah. Right? Even though it's with a glint, but how many, you said you, there was a massive concophony of Chinese people at the fight. Right, exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, after I collected the wood, I went down to Chinatown and it was like, I saw tumbleweeds because it's empty. Right? So I'm trying to say to you, because it's all at the bloody fight to. So I'm saying to you, like, there is a power in that, but it's not only that, but it's also that to learning. Because when he's fighting, there's not many fighters that I see fighting. I can actually see their game plan. Mm. But I can see their game plan's not forced. When he fights, he doesn't fight overexerting himself. So the work isn't forced.
He's very conservative. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's very conservative. But he's very fluid. He's got, I like his fluidity. How he puts his shots out to him. And he does this kind of like, from like, sometimes he will jab, but he does this arcing, like he kind of, it's a, like a semi-hook jab that he throws at you. And I see him, when he clapped Joe with a straight left hand, you know, to him.
Straight left hand. And you know what? It's good to see a southpaw. It's good to see a southpaw throwing a right hook after the straight left. And he was throwing it, and you know, eventually it was the right hook that folded Joe. We have so much questions, and so much people are commenting in the comment section about this whole Joe Joyce Zhang saga, and we definitely are coming back to that because it's such a hot topic right now. But what also is a hot topic, and what also, in my opinion, ranks as definitely in the top three robberies of this year.
Bro.
Top three. Like a man just rolling to the bank, no balaclava, shooter in his hand. Sorry, I'm showing you where man comes from. Shooter in his hand and just said, give me the money. Gone with the money. And they're off.
Remember Frank Maloney used to say, look, at least Dick Turpin used to wear a mask.
Dean Powell used to say that to me as well. I know Dean, at least Dick Turpin used to wear a mask. This is a straight robbery. Ladies and gentlemen, and those of us who know about the sport of boxing and follow the sport of boxing, you would all know that last night in the United States of America, a young lady named Sandy Ryan challenge. I don't even want to remember the other girl's name. What's the other girl's name? What's the girl's name, Spence?
McCaskill.
But I'm only busy about Sandy and my brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you the one, the only, the trainer of Sandy Ryan, Mr. Clifton Mitchell.
How you doing? Please.
Bro, sort out the Wi-Fi. Don't be coming with them little Tesco's Wi-Fi right
now.
No.
I'm in the hotel, aren't I? At the minute, I'm still in the hotel. Thank you.
And you're a rich man.
Yeah, for yourself.
You're a rich man. Rich man has to have a rich Wi-Fi.
I'm off the hotel. I'm good. Thanks for having me on your show. And congratulations on your award. Much well-deserved.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're doing your thing. And you're asking begging. You're not begging nobody for nothing. You're just doing your thing.
Come on.
Thank you very much, Kev. I don't know how you're feeling this morning. And I saw a little post that Sandy herself done. And the rich girl is devastated. I can only, she seems very devastated to me. Explain to me what happened last night, where you're at in terms of your thinking, and what next for Sandy and yourself.
As you know, Tunde, I've been away. I was in Portugal for 3 weeks. Then I went to America for 4 weeks. I've been in America 4 weeks now, away from my kids, my wife, everybody. Wow. Yeah. And, you know, to put that sacrifice out there, and then
her to do
what she did, where nobody really thought she was going to do what she did, how she did it, and then to get robbed. The only thing, like you said, you know, the only thing that we can take away from that is she still came back with her belt.
But yes.
Apart from that, it was a travesty, and people need to be accounted for when they give decisions like this.
Yes.
As a trainer, I'm happy with her performance, really happy. So I can take that out of it. That's the only thing I can take out of it. The way that she handled herself in the draw, how she spoke, and she told everybody to calm down, nobody not to kick off. I mean, you've got to give her praise. At the minute, I think she'll really realise when she watches it back, because nobody's really watched it back yet. Understand? We haven't even watched it back.
Yes.
So when she watches it back, you might see a different Sunday come out. But you know, we went through, and she trained diligently. We was up in the gym training with Coach K, that trains with Michaela Mayer, helps her out sometimes. Was in that gym. Was with Asim Reichman. And
yes,
Kenny Adams,
the
American coach. So yes. I was up in that gym, you know. Big shout out to the gym up there in Vegas. But as I would say, it's very hard to take, because they've robbed her of being the first woman to become a lineal champion after 8 fights. They've robbed her of that, you know. And we weren't looking at. We just wanted to win the fight. Understand? And she stuck to the game plan. I haven't seen one report that gives it to McCaskill. Not one. And Karen Carr, what are you going to say?
No, that's because I was saying that. I see Clarissa Shields, Elisa Bungana, 8-2. Everyone's saying 8-2. Like, not even close. So it seems unanimous across the board in terms of her winning that.
But I think if you watch the fight, you'll see that, for me, she's one of the best in the world, by far. You know, I've had this girl since she's 13, just like Tunde with Anthony, you know. We have these kids, we don't get given fighters, we build fighters from the ground up.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? You know, we're manufacturers, you know what I'm saying? We're not we're not people that get already built cars and polish them, understand?
Come on.
We build them, so we know how they work, understand?
Yes.
We know how to make them tick. And like I said, me as a trainer, you know, and I'm a father figure to her, understand? So
I see that.
And she was very, very, I'm so happy that this woman's matured in the way that she matured. I like the loss with her with Farias, it wasn't a loss, it was a lesson. She's never been back, and she's never been back there again regarding the way that she trains now, how diligent. She's the one that wanted to go to America, understand? Like I said, to spend that much time away from your family and to get that, you know, I was just numb, to be fair. Just numb with the decision. But the good thing about it is, you know, she come back with a belt. I spoke to the WBC, WBO, and they are putting a report in, and they're gonna try and demand the rematch. Understand?
What I would like to know, what's Eddie's take on this? I mean, obviously
he couldn't believe it. He was in the ring, he was standing there, he says it might be 6-4. But he thinks he was more 7-3, 8-2. But
yes,
when the first score, I've seen, the scorecards are out and I've seen them. And not one judge judged it the same. That's how.
And I know, but Cliff, the judge that Mark Strand, whatever his name is, he gave it like 97-93. So he gave McCaskill 7 rounds. Where can you find 7 rounds? If he said, all right, then I give her 3 rounds, top, I'll say, right. Even if you said, I give her 4 rounds, I'm saying, nah, you are really taking the biscuit. You're trying to rob the girl. But to give her 7 rounds, he even gave her the last round. You know what I mean?
I mean, this seems to be like a trend, Cliff. What, in your opinion, what do you think can be done about this?
I said, I mean, this seems to be a growing trend with these judges.
I think, I was in the change rooms, yeah. The referee came in, yeah. And I said to the referee before the fight, forget the judges for a second. I said to the referee before the fight, I said to him, can you watch what she's doing with her head? I think she's going to need three gloves here. One for each hand, one for her head, because she used the headlock and she ducked her head that low.
Yeah.
It's illegal. It's illegal what she's doing. And I went to the referee halfway through the round. I went, mate, ref, tell her to keep her head up. And then I had the supervisor come round to the corner to me, telling me, yeah, if I speak to the referee again, he's throwing me out the corner. Understand? Mm. So I really wanted to tell him about himself, but I'm in a different country, so sometimes you have to know which battles to fight.
Kibba. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smile and nod.
But I said, the judging, how can you justify that them scores? How can you justify them? And not one of the judges got it right. Apart from even a 6-4, but you can have it, understand? At least he got the right decision, understand? But what can you do? What can you do? Apart from, but I did speak to the WBC, the supervisor, and he has put a report. He says they have judges around the country, around the world, that will judge that fight and send their reports in. And see what
he says, but
you will, is if you put that report in, you will get the rematch. That's what he said. But like I said, you know what people say when I've had some lager, I want to say real life.
Yeah, for sure. Because there wasn't a rematch clause. I mean, that's something to think about, isn't it? Like
I will tell you this, that they might have her out for one more fight, so she's not getting away with it.
Okay. This is the point I'm going to make, Clifton. You say Matchroom have one more fight, but I heard today, I can't say through the grapevine because there's no grapevine again, because Twitter and social media is not a grapevine. It's their information for everyone. But I heard them speak about a possibility of a Tasha Jonas fight. And if that is the case, you can see her swerving Sandy for a bigger money fight.
I think I don't think that Matchroom have her contracted.
Okay.
Matchroom have her contract. They have two more fights with them. Win, lose, or draw. She had another fight with Matchroom. So I definitely know that's true because I spoke to Eddie about it. And they have for more fight. And she's gotta come over here.
You're not Sandy's manager, are you? Are you Sandy's manager as well?
No. The guy I just spoke to, I'm not his manager. I'm not a manager, a trainer.
Okay.
Sometimes it's better.
I was saying maybe that's something to look at. That in title challenges, I guess obviously the A side is always the A side, but in the outcome of a draw, there should be a rematch. That's something to look at.
Basically, Rick Ramos, they always say, you know the score, innit? Every time in the ring,
Let's just hope Sandy does get the rematch because I think the public want it, the public deserve it. Yeah. So many people can't be wrong, you know, from the boxing world, from just normal fans. Everyone is in agreement that Sandy was victorious last night.
There was two referees at ringside, and they were sitting right where my corner is. I'm in the ring, and after the fight, you look around as we do as trainers, and we look at officials, the ones that you probably get along with, and you say,
"Oh,"
and I've said to him, and he's nodded his head my way. You know what I'm saying to you? So we're cool. So I think, cool. But even when you think you've won, you're not sure till the hand's been raised. You know, but. I was really happy with her performance. And that's the first thing. And I was happy the way she conducted herself after that decision, you can say it didn't go our way, but it should have.
Yes. Well, listen, I mean, I was so proud to see you up there. I was on a bleaching thing last night because we just done beat up a boy. Then I'm there watching my brother.
Happy for you. Congratulations.
I'm there watching my brother, you know, in the corner for Undisputed Lino. It was great for me to see you up there.
you know, and the victory was kind of like snatched from us last night, but it's not over. We still got our belt, you know, so exactly. Sandy still got the belt, and we go again.
And like I was saying to you earlier, at least you got an at least.
Yeah,
because
my dad used to say,
at least you got an at least because you could have got robbed, you know.
Yeah,
because you could have got robbed.
One point, either way, you know.
I'm telling you.
You know, they gave McCaskill the last two rounds.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know. Unbelievable.
That is ridiculous. But this is the thing. And like Boone Gardner said, "Welcome to America."
Yeah, I saw that tweet.
So for me, I'm just happy. I mean, she's. I think it's really hitting her now. She doesn't want to speak to nobody. She's not doing no interviews. She's done a little one. She's gone out. She said, "I'm going to go out. I'm going to go and eat a chicken burger because she's not." She really, really went to town on this with her training. Honestly, when I put the pulse, put the work in, put it in. You know, she put the work in, and it's hard, especially when. And I don't blame McCaskill. I don't blame her team. You know what I mean? You got to blame the organisation and them governing bodies that are appointing these judges that don't know what they're looking at. Understand? And I think they have to be accounted. They need to be sitting down and saying, how do you score this? How do you score it? How did you score it? Round by round and say to them, right then. And they should get struck off. They shouldn't be able to judge.
Do you think there should be kind of like an age limit? You know, like in amateur boxing.
You know, like in amateur boxing,
if you're over a certain age, you can't box no more, fam. So I'm like, what judge was it that the fight was going on and the man was, his eyes was in the mobile phone screen while the fight was going and it was over here? Yeah, it was Terry O'Connor.
Terry O'Connor, there you go.
He said I wasn't
on my phone.
He was on Uber Eats. He was on Uber Eats, bro.
So the point is I'm saying that there should be like an age limit. Like you can't be having no 75-year-old man judging fights.
You can't say that. I disagree with that.
No, but I feel so because I don't feel,
it's like a driver license, like, isn't it? You can't drive after a certain age.
Yeah. Exactly. So or you got to go retake your test, innit?
Yeah, why can't take the test again? Why can't the same principle be applied to judging? Because there's a saying, you know, the young are for the war and the older are for counsel. You know, it's like, why can't we have that principle where you get to a certain age of judging and then you become more like teaching the younger ones what to look for? What to officiate, what to see, what not to judge. You see what I'm saying? It's like, you can't be just having man in boxing, you know, just because they're old, that means, they're going to give the right decision.
Most of them will get bored at ringside anyway. They're not even watching the fight. Some of them will watch it. They're not even watching the fight. Understand?
Yeah, you know what? That is very true because I've witnessed that many times. Yeah? I've witnessed that many a times.
Can I just go back to the Zhang thing? What's there?
As
an ex heavyweight, I was in Vegas in Salas's gym with Salas.
Oh wow!
Before the fight, before he came to England, and I asked him about Joe and the fight. I says, "How do you think he gets on?" He says, "Yeah, I feel he can win." He says, "But sometimes some guys you just can't beat." You know what I mean?
The trainer said that,
1,000,000%. He didn't say that Joe couldn't beat him. He just said that sometimes the guy's better than you.
Tony was saying the same thing earlier, but what I'm trying to say, if I've employed him as my trainer, you're getting sacked, mate, because meanwhile you're in the talk there about there's some guys you can't beat, bro. We're going to win. How do you think Joel Joyce can come back from this? Because it's like people seem to forget Clifton Mitchell fought for the European Heavyweight Championship. You know what I mean? He fought for the British as well.
But you know what? I think Joe needs... I don't think he needs to be going to America every time he has a camp. Yeah.
Come on.
I don't think... I think for a man that's that agile, like you said earlier on in the show, yeah?
Yeah.
For a man that's that agile, he boxes like you couldn't... If you've seen him do that, yeah? When he does that
Caballero business.
Yeah. And then he boxes completely different. So, and why has he got his left hand down? He was wide open for that right hook all the way through.
I know.
He should have just kept both his hands up.
Yes.
And probably just walk him down and just try and walk him down, because he's never gonna outbox this kid. The kid's too loose, too fluent, and the kid is a silver medalist. He's got ratings. He's got the pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
You're not talking about somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. Listen, he's not a Joseph Parker, understand?
No.
And he is a problem for every heavyweight, from what I see. Every. Like I see when he boxed Ergovic. He beat Ergovic.
Of course he did.
You know that man who smoked, that man used to smoke 40 cigarettes a day?
Who?
Zhang.
Yeah. You see the documentary, yeah?
Yeah.
I saw it.
He's a bad man. What, has he stopped smoking now?
Yeah, he's a clean liver now.
But Tundi, I can tell you something. Last night he was smoking, bro. Trust me.
And it wasn't weed.
Yeah,
it wasn't weed. But I agree.
But you know what? All in all, you know, Joe is, like I said, people like to big you up and chop you down within a sentence. And like you said, Tundi, you know, do you. Don't do what anybody else. Just do yourself. And don't worry about what anybody else thinks. If you feel that you've still got something left, you do this. And like you, and to be fair, you've covered a few points that I massively agree with. That ginger boy that is his
Shane Watson.
He ain't got a clue about boxing. He's not got a clue. I'll tell you that now. Yeah, he's not got a clue. Understand? Even Adam's a solicitor. Yeah. He's not a boxing man. He managed to stick to contracts. Understand? I'm telling you straight. I'm keeping it real. Stick to contracts. And Sam Jones is a better judge of a boxer than Shane Watson. Shane Watson, I don't know what he's doing. I'm not saying that because I have any personal gripe against him, because I don't. But he don't know boxing. Understand?
Mm.
He's been in the game 2 minutes, yeah? He used to be a bus boy for them. And now he's moved up because Sam's moved. But I'm just keeping it real. I'm not slagging nobody off.
No. Shane's good people, you know. Shane's good people, but
Shane,
you're still
Shane
young.
Don't know boxing.
Yeah,
he doesn't know. Yeah, he's young, and you put him on a platform with somebody that's virtually hanging on the world title. I don't think it was a good fight for him to take in the first place. Like you said, if you look at his style, look at Zhang is the wrong man for him. And you can't say he doesn't know about southpaw. This man's boxed southpaws up and down all through his amateur career. You can't tell me he's not boxed southpaw. This Zhang is a different style of southpaw. He's fluid. He's relaxed. He's got black rhythm. If you know what I mean? You know what I mean? He's not boxing like a Chinese man. Understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And that's not being racist either. I'm just saying to you, he's just smooth. He's smooth. And he sees the shots fast. Papa.
Would you say... Papa. Would you say that... Because, you know, listen. Fighters don't historically go to Cambridge University or Oxford University or Harvard. You know, fighters historically leave the decision-making up to their management. So would
this
you
is
say
what I'm saying that, that's what I'm trying so to say.
So would you would you say in this case it's a management?
I think Frank Warren made a massive mistake by even losing. He didn't
Stop right there.
Yeah.
So this is what, because I want to go back to these comments here, because I'm not here. You know me. I'm a very neutral person, but I think right. A promoter, forgive me if I'm wrong, but is not a promoter's objective, the fundamental point and reasoning behind a promoter is to promote and make the most money.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what their job is? Then isn't the manager's job? Isn't it the manager's job to say yes or no? You can't blame Frank Warren. You can't blame, because I hear people, you can't blame Frank Warren. No. But I'm not you, but I'm reading certain comments. So that's why I'm touching it.
Yeah.
You can't always say it's the promoter. You can't blame the promoter, because the promoter, and again, I'm not defending no one, but the promoter is there to promote. The managerial part of this whole equation is to guide, protect, make the right decisions for your fighter.
Yeah.
Right. It's not the promoter. The promoter's here to make peace.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, Jeff, right? He's sitting in a very, very good position, yeah? And Frank is not a person that likes to... He got him in that position. I can't see why he would...
jeopardize it.
Jeopardize that position. So he shouldn't have been on the table, because he's sitting pretty waiting. Yeah?
But let me tell you why, Cliff. Sorry to cut you. Because Frank now has...
contractual agreements with Zang. Yeah.
He's got loads of, I understand that. I see what I mean. He's got Dubois, he's got Tyson, he's got Joyce.
So it's not rocket science, it's down to the management.
Well, I'm telling you this now. Zhang fights Tyson Fury in the new year for the heavyweight championship of the world will generate more money than Tyson Fury versus Usyk, because there is one billion Chinese, right, over Sir. You got to think about it. 1 billion. If he's fighting for business. That, remember, he's going to be the first Chinese man ever to fight for the World Heavyweight Championship, you know?
It's business.
Brother.
From what I heard. That's
gone.
Has he got him on contract?
Frank
said it last night. I mean, I'm not saying nothing that's not public knowledge. Frank said it last night. You know, we've got Zhang's next fights.
Right.
All right, then. That's why you keep.
So I said it at the top of the show. Right.
That's why you keep. He's on a win-win situation. Now it goes back to the management.
Yeah. Right. Gotcha. So I'm like, hold on. Why is Frank getting the stick in this situation?
No, he doesn't.
I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
He's a businessman because
the management. If you was in Joe Joyce's position, you are the interim champion. Yeah, you know that if that the next fight in line refuse to fight you, you're the world champion. Are you gonna take some dangerous brother from down the road that nobody wants to fight?
This is why I'm saying that his management that we only have Sheehan and Adam. Yeah,
Adam,
not the cleverest. They might have book sense. They might have street sense, but they would never have taught that.
That's not the fight. That's not the fight. Mm. And you know, listen. I feel it for Joe because Joe is a warrior. Joe is gonna fight. And
fighters is to fight.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Your management that's supposed to be looking after you. That's why he's your manager.
Yeah, and again, the fighter has a right to say no as well. You get what I'm saying? The fighter can say no.
Yeah, but I agree with that. But you know what? Joe isn't that type of guy to turn down no one. He'll fight anyone. Because remember, early on, you know, he was fighting good men early on. His first pro fight, Ian Luton.
Ian Luton was his first fight.
First pro fight? Come on, man.
That's mad.
Right.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you listen, I know fighters that will sit there and wait. Once people get themselves in position, there's not fighting nobody until they get their shot.
Trust me. The master of that.
I can't see. Sorry, Cliff. We lost Cliff there for a second.
Hold on, 1 second. I know what.
You still there, Cliff?
Yeah, man.
His wife. Yeah.
I can't see too many people jumping up to fight Zhang now. You know, Zhang now may be the one who has to play the waiting game and just wait for his mandatory to be called. But, and I guess if they may just get him a run out. But you can't see Zhang fighting a top contender for nothing other than the money, because he's the man now.
He'll sit now and wait. He will sit and wait. If he finishes, he'll sit and wait. You know,
yeah. Or just dig up some bodies for him to fight. Some little idiot, man.
Or maybe there's a mega fight.
A mega fight with who?
Maybe there's a mega fight with Anthony Joshua in China.
I don't think.
Yeah, that's what I'll be looking at. I'm looking at some of that AJ money, bro.
Yeah, but so that fight won't happen.
If AJ and Wilder ain't fighting, wait. Spencer, think about it. The AJ and Wilder fight is not going on.
Mm-hmm.
That fight ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
They can't negotiate it.
Right.
So who next? Who's the next big money fight? You ain't fighting Tyson Fury.
AJ, I mean, Zhang and Wilder.
Zhang and Wilder is a good fight, but I don't believe that generates the type of money of Zhang and Anthony Joshua.
Right.
In China. And
Anton, yeah. I'm telling you this now, yeah? Frank Warren will never give no Anthony Joshua no Chinese money if he's got anything to do with Zhang.
I don't believe that.
Right. I'm telling you this now. The person who's going to get that Chinese money is going to be Tyson Fury. He's going to keep it all in-house.
Yeah.
Cool. But I've said it. We keep receiving.
We'll see. All we can do is sit down with bated breath.
The only way he wants to do that, because he wants to see, he'd love Anthony Joshua to get beat on one of his cards.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that. You see, this is where I always step out.
You have to step aside.
I don't know, I'm not in no mix-up.
Frankie Blue has a like bench and batty. So, you know?
I'm not in no mix-up. But what I'm saying is that I do believe Frank would make Anthony Joshua versus Zhiliang Zhang. Because it's a mega event.
Of course he does, because he knows what Anthony brings to the table.
Yeah.
It's a mega event. I don't think Frank would stop that.
Eddie ain't gonna have that. Eddie will block that.
No,
Eddie Hearn would block that.
I believe Eddie Hearn will look at Zhang versus AJ. Listen, man, this is money. You man are gonna this is money.
Hey, them man have money, you know.
All right then.
Listen.
Yeah, they've got serious
paper.
Money is numbers. No one will ever be satisfied.
Right.
Nobody will ever be satisfied. Money is there to make more money.
But I think they could, if they have three fights, they can make that money. So, have they got three fights in them? I think Zhang is the hot property at the minute. Yeah, everybody wants to stay away from him. I think right now.
All right. Well, it's another talk. I'm sure that all promoters are happy right now that us three are having this conversation.
Yep. Definitely. We have to thank Clifton Mitchell, the trainer of who is meant to be the undisputed waterweight champion of the world in Sandy Ryan, but she's still the WBO champion, right? So massive big up for Clifton, because I know like you're jumping on a plane in a minute. Tell Sandy not to eat too many burgers while she's out in America.
Yeah, she's good. Listen, thanks a lot for having me on the show. And you know,
man, respect, Cliff.
Right.
Oh, Clifton,
before you go,
I just want your opinion on, like, next month we've got a big light heavyweight fight between Dan Aziz and Joshua Boatse. I just want to hear your take on that.
That's a lot of closer fight than people are going to give it credit. Everything's that Boatsy's going to walk it, but not a chance. I think they've sparred together. They've done loads of rounds together, so they know each other. And that's the reason why Dan's probably took it, because he feels that it's a 50-50 fight. And on paper, if you're looking at it on each other's records, you'd go for Boatsy, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go for Boatsy on points.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's what's coming to my head. Understand?
Spence, you're forgetting one major fight that you haven't asked for Clifton's opinion. That is the mega fight next week, Saturday, in Las Vegas, Undisputed versus Undisputed. Canelo Alvarez versus Jermell Charlo. What is your prediction?
You know what? My apologies, son.
I think I'm going to go with Charlo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too, you know. For some reason,
I'm going to go with Charlo because I feel, you know, you've got people like Canelo. You've got Katie Taylor. People like that, that are on that dip.
Yes.
Yes. They're on the way down. They're not on the way. They're not climbing anymore. Yes. And I don't think he's plateaued. I think he's on the other side of it now. And you've got a kid that's coming up, moving up weight. Listen, if Canelo clips him, he could be kittens. But I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm just going to go with the underdog for this.
Interesting opinion and one shared by many. Clifton Mitchell, it's been fantastic having you again, brother.
Thank you.
And Clifton, stay off the bacon butties. Hey, your bacon drink.
Turkey bacon.
Yeah, you better know it's turkey bacon we're eating around
turkey
here.
Turkey bacon. Yeah.
Bless cool. Love.
Thank you very much, Clifton Mitchell. Yeah, Mr. Clifton Mitchell, what a great guy. Giving his time out. You know what?
I got a text. Someone says, I don't even want to really give it energy, but, you know, the person texts me about Nairon's comments. Yard needs to stop fighting bin men. Bro, have a fight yourself. Have a fight. Because again, you know, like last week, I mean, the guy's last fight was against Kieran Comrie, a very capable fighter. He went the distance with Kieran Comrie. I just think that, you know, people think that boxing is just, put him in there with a good fight. But this is, these are fighters' health. Like, you lot are saying people should fight these people. And then when they fight them, you tell them to retire. That's what you know.
Stop for a second. Yeah.
Spence. I'm just saying this before I block his ass. I just want him to hear what I'm saying before I block him. But
no, I don't think you should. No. I don't think you should block him because he's not taking a mickey in what he's saying.
I'm in a charitable mood today.
Yeah, hearing his opinion, and I'm glad that you've answered the young man. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Boxington. You can't please everybody. You've heard the story about the man with the donkey and his son. You know what I mean? So forget that one. It doesn't matter. No matter what you do,
I don't care. Let's move on. But, you know, right? People are telling me they're being fresh, but that's because of the connection. But it's all right. But it's boxing. Let's deal with these Joe Dreads because there's so much people.
Deal with them before I go to my bed, bro.
Yeah, because we've gone over.
That ceremony thing drained about energy, bro, yesterday.
Is that said again?
That ceremony thing. It went on to about 3 o'clock to rot it.
Bro, I have had 1 hour sleep, man. Just fix up yourself, man. Just drink coffee or something. Come with your old tired self, man. Anyway, someone says Zhang versus Chisora. Come on, man. Lada.
You know what? As much as you're laughing, don't be surprised if I don't have it, you know.
Oh. That means that... No. I don't want to see that fact. I don't want to see that fact.
But I'm telling you again, do not be surprised if you don't see that fight.
Wow.
Derek Chisora.
It's still a draw, but, you know, listen, when fighters lose in a particular manner, or even when they win at the end of their career, people really always say, you know, that they should retire. Derek, I don't know if it's because the way I feel about Derek and the connection, and, you know, he's got a beautiful family and what have you, and he's been in tough fights, you know, been stopped a few times, but always come back. I'm like, how much do you want? How much do you need? And I don't think a fight like Zhang at this stage of his career is one that he should be taking. But Derek is his own man. Derek has openly said that he retires when he wants to retire. He ain't listening to me or you or anyone for that matter of fact. But it's not a fight that I want to see. Zhang versus AJ, what do you think about that?
It's a good fight.
Yeah.
It's a good fight. It's a good fight. Mm. I think AJ beat him in amateurs, didn't he?
Yeah, AJ beat him in
Olympics. Yeah, and dropped him.
Dropped him as well.
You know what next thing that's amazing? I remember when AJ knocked out Joel Joyce, you know, we stopped him. I remember that fight, you know?
Yeah.
I was at that fight, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. And AJ does Joshua throw a big right hands after him.
But that was a different Andy Joshua. But
yeah, I know. What I'm trying to say is, like, so I know it was a different Anthony Joshua, but it's also a different Joy Joyce. Yes, but it's like I said, this game is very fickle because, and I'm not jumping about from like Joe Joyce should retire. Joe Joyce, as far as I'm concerned, is still a problem and he's still dangerous. Right? It's just that.
But this is what I'm trying to say. Everybody,
you meet your bogeyman, and he met his Ken Norton last night. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zilly's at his Ken Norton.
Because I mean, I spoke to Joe. This was talking about a few hours after the fact. This morning in the hotel, I was speaking to Joe. Still coherent, very upset. We know boxing is a cumulative sport where you most times see the damage after the careers are over. But I actually think Joe against any other fighter other than Zhang at this stage of his career is still competitive.
Mm-hmm.
After a rest, remember, because Joe's been very busy. You know, he's been fighting. He's fighting, you know, Parker, Zhang, then Zhang again. That's bare fight, Spence. He just needs a rest. Don't be yawning on the show, man. What's the matter with you? Bro.
Look, bro. Bro, let me tell you this,
man.
We just
got an award last night. And man's yawning on the show. Nah. Spencer, but I was in a fight last night. Well, not me.
I was
in a ring last night.
I don't business.
A man sleeping on the thing.
I don't business what you're saying. Well, I'm trying to tell a man, like, ladies and gentlemen, this is my routine. This is my routine, yeah?
Bro, drink some herbal tea or something,
nah,
bro.
I'm going to drink some water in a minute. I went and done the thing, yeah? I went to that award. The thing never finished till 1 o'clock in the morning, bro.
That's a go your bed, fam.
And this is why this show gets awards, bro.
Joe, man was going like this. He screamed at his whole eyes. Bro, we need to test up. Drink some. Bro. You know what they do in Nigeria? They fling pepper in your eye or something. You wake up, bro. You can't be sleeping. Nah. I'm gonna have to put a stop to this. People, please, someone send something around to Spencer's house. But we need him awake. We need him awake. One little. Bro, I'm on a 1 hour sleep, Spencer. And you're
telling me I don't miss like about you and your 1 hour sleep because. I told Mel already, when I saw Tony did an interview on Friday, I said, Tony, you're burning weed or something? Tony's eyes was red. Was red like some devil in hell.
Bro, you done a full yawn. Spencer done a full yawn on the sun. Drink some mad love.
Bro, man's not listening to me, yeah? When Clifton come off, I said, that's good.
Oh my goodness.
No, Milo will send you to sleep, bro. Milo will send you to sleep.
That's serious for those messes. When man tell you to drink Milo on the show. Nah, I'm sweating.
Milo will send you to sleep, bro.
Sugar Ray says, forgot to say, Spencer, well done. It's not your award. It's our award.
It's our award. Come on, it's not the thing.
Don't try to signal that, man, like it's his award only. It's our award, bro.
Anyway. But it's the truth. Now, he's talking the truth, man. I've been carrying you for too long, I'm going to my bed.
I've been carrying you, bro, because you're sleeping. Anyway, my head's letting me.
Nah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it has been fantastic.
No, I'm good, man. I'm good. Don't cut it off. Let's carry on. Carry on.
You're ready. All right, cool. Don't try to act tough and then you're going to be yawning and scraping out your eyes again. Please, I beg.
No, I'm joking. No, I'm good, man.
We don't need this. All right. So, I've always said, is there anything we haven't touched on? Hitchison won a 12-round points decision against Zepeda last night. You know, a very competent performance by young Hitchison. Hitchison, I can never say it right. I don't know where he goes from here, though, because, you know, Zepeda just lost against Prograde. Prograde's WBC world champion. And so how they now develop this this young man, I don't know how much people is gonna want to fight him. That's Spencer. Man sending me screenshot. Man sending me screenshot of you. Look.
Sure, let me get some water, man.
I can tell you, this is the internet. Spencer does thing on the internet. He thinks everyone's seeing. Well, how can we forget young Conor Benn? How can we not even touch on Conor Benn's last night? There have been so much talk on Conor Benn's return to the ring last night. I mean, I was in the hotel room on the bed watching all the boxing last night after Anthony's fight. People keep on talking about Anthony's hairstyle. What are you talking about? It's called swag, bro. I don't know what's the matter.
I like the hairstyle. I'm serious.
He's got you talking. He's got a lot of people talking. And, you know, Anthony's is one of those individuals that can pull off anything. And you know what? I was trying to keep my poker face walking to the ring. But when the two packs started playing, Spence, my head started going like this. Ain't nothing but a gangster party. You know that tune?
That is a big boy tune. But let's go back to the Conor Benn. I'm just going to be real. Listen. And
first of all, the performance. What do you think of the performance itself?
Tunde, man was saying to me that the drugs are run out.
What's the matter with me? No, I'm not having that.
People was just texting me because I watched the fight this morning. People saying, nah, he don't look right. Conor Benn don't look right. But I'm saying, this is what I'm saying in defense of Conor Benn. Maybe he doesn't look right because he's a young man that's been under a lot of scrutiny and burden for so long. And like you're saying, yeah, I just want to fight. And you've got so much in you. So you're damned if you do. If he went out and banged him out in one round, we'd say the state of which he fought in America never did no proper drug testing. He's on the drugs, right? He goes places with him. He said, oh, it's because he's off the drugs or he's not eating no eggs and protein shake. So he can't fight. You know what I mean? So whatever he does, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. What I am saying is this. Me personally, I would have liked to see him have cleared up all of this stuff for the British Border Control first and then gone and fought. But it is what it is. Can I knock a man for going after his dreams and aspirations? I'm saying, no, I can't. No. Go do your thing. But the performance was lackluster, Tunde.
You think so? Don't you think people are being a bit hard?
Quite rightly so. Because I'm looking at the man that banged out Chris Algieri. I'm looking at the man that beat up
Van Herden.
Broke up Van Herden. So I'm looking at that. So I'm thinking, well, are you gonna come back to that? But I'm gonna give you a squeeze simply because I know, yeah, I mean, things ain't you've gone through a lot over the last year. Thank you very much, Velroy Bailey, for the $19.99. Big up yourself, Velroy. And I hope when's your daughter fighting as well, Velroy? Velroy Bailey says, you guys are killing me. One thing, Tunde, you know Jollof Joe.
Well enough to approach him as a trainer. Sounds out of order, but Ishmael Salas seems tactically inept. Having Joe around you and AY camp would benefit him hugely. You know, someone said this to me today, yesterday actually, and you know, Ant is he loves Joe. When I say love, I don't want to start again. I'm a man. I don't like talking for a next man or how a next man feels about another man. But one thing I know, Ant has always got good things to say about Joe, and they took pictures together at the weigh-in and stuff like that. So I know that energy is cool, and same with me. Everyone knows I've always supported Joe, but you know, I don't really like when things are going good, because I feel I'd be a kind of hypocrite. You know, if things are going good and then this guy is the best guy for him and then it goes bad and then you say, let me jump ship, I don't really like that, Villeroy. That's the only thing that would make me think like that. You know, I've had so many people that come to me. They come to me when they lose. I'm like, bro, what are you coming to me now for?
Mm.
Why do you come to me when you maybe was coming up? When you understand? I just, I don't know. I've always been like that. Of course, it's an opportunity to train a heavyweight, and you know, I like the challenge of building people when no one thinks anything is left. But you know, it's something, Joe. I don't run down fighters. I never have, and I never will. If a man comes to me and says, you know, I'm interested in working with you, you know, I'm in this thing for success myself. I look at it, and so it's just one of those things. We'll see what Joe is, but Clifton made reference to it. I keep asking myself why British guys feel going over to America is automatic success for them. Why they feel their career as enhances when they go to America. I'm still waiting for the success story. I'm still waiting for the success story that when that's happened.
What, when British guys go into America?
Yeah. I mean, you've got a few. And don't get me wrong. I mean, again, I don't class Lennox. Bro, Lennox is... I'm classing Canadian-American, even though he was from the end.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But other than that, Chris Eubanks is already in his career. So, yeah, he's had one fight with Bomac. He's been successful with a guy who's at the end of his career. Amir Khan went over there. Do I need to say any more? Who else? I'm trying to think of other fighters that's gone over there where we can say, oh, wow, there's been some massive, massive
improvement. Well, no, because you got to think, you went, yeah, Lee 66, yep, Lloyd Hannigan did go out to America.
And bust up an American.
Yeah, but Lloyd Hannigan also said, why am I going to America and spend $60,000 on a training camp when I can train in England?
Exactly, simple. That Old Kent Road.
Old Kent Road. Exactly. Thomas
Beckett. I just feel that, yeah, people say learn something new, but it's just that thing. It's like, you got to know, you can go to America. You can go out there for sparring and great training camps and stuff like that. Does it mean it has to be a man talking in an American slang? Because a lot of these guys, American trainers, when I hear them talk, I'm thinking, you're not talking like you're trying, it's like you're talking like with disrespect. Like, yeah, we're going to show you what's going on. But that's just me. Because I'm not ignorant enough to think that you can't learn something elsewhere. And I do believe that every fighter should go out to America just because it's a bigger playing field. And you can get some good sparring. But I'm telling you, you could get some rubbish sparring as well. It's just numbers. But I guess, listen, whatever suits the fighter. But yeah, I think Joe is at a stage of his career where it's just a few things that can benefit him. Just a few things. Because he is what he is. Joe is what he is. You know, I think against a he'll be successful. He still must be as successful against another type of fighter. Maybe one of the young guys that's coming up. Adelaide, Fabio. Let them fight Joe. You know, maybe Joe will come
around
to that level a bit.
Nah, because I think Joe's above that level. I don't think Joe should go down a level because yeah. I'm telling you again, famously, like when Ali fought Ken Norton 3 times, yeah. Right? A man could argue, say Ali lost all 3 of them fights.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Is that because he was going down a level? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, yeah, not only that, because he was bringing up Ken Norton, right?
Okay.
Ken Norton was doing one that was jumping up to his level.
Okay, and I get what you're saying. Yes.
Right? So, I appreciate that. And then sometimes, Tony, when you fight, certain people can be your bogeyman.
Yes.
That's what Joe is. Ken Norton. It's as simple as that, mate. Because, you mean... Ken Norton got knocked out by George Foreman in Venezuela, right, in 2 rounds. But Ali went on and fought fought Joe Frazier, fought George Foreman and beat him. So yeah. Styles do make fights.
Styles make fights,
and,
yeah.
And certain man is just going to be a bogeyman. And that guy, Zhang, has got Joe Joyce's number.
Yeah, for sure. Mob Vlog says, Tunde, they want to learn something new. That's why they go to America. So what did Joe Joyce learn? Yeah, you need to ask me that one. What did he learn? In two fights, what did he learn? Yeah, bruv, this is what I'm going to say. Sometimes people are just talking for talking's sake. They actually don't know what they're just repeating. You're just repeating. I'm saying, show me some evidence. I want to see evidence where we see some massive, because you can't tell me nothing like Brandon Ingle produced some of the best fighters ever to come out of this country.
Trust me.
That's Brandon Ingle.
Trust me.
I don't know. I mean, one man can't train everyone, so I get that part. And maybe, you know, fighters, they have egos, so maybe when there's too many champions in one camp, they want it, and then there might be just a
yeah, but Tunde, I hear that. But Tunde, okay. It's no different when, like, for instance, everyone's going to Buddy McGirt now.
Yes.
Tunde, when's he got time to train anybody?
These are the things I don't understand. Right? I just don't get it. That's what I'm saying. It don't make sense to me. But anyway, I don't know everything. I'm trying to learn just like most people on here. Alexander Wilson, thank you for the $10.
Sean George did say that Joe's team didn't know anything about boxing. If they think putting on weight will increase his durability, he said that is a huge mistake they made before the fight even started. All right.
Yes, I mean, the thinking behind that, I would love to hear the thinking behind Joe putting on so much weight. And again, after the first fight,
when he looked fat, Joe Joyce looked fat, bro.
I don't know. I just
he did look fat.
I think there's a lot of excuses. We don't know. We're not inside these camps. We don't know how long he's training for. All we know that Joe has had two fights with Zhang now. Zhang has looked better in both fights. Like, he's looked better in the fight after the first one.
The rumors were, right? And I'm saying it's rumors before anything, but the rumors were that he was getting flawed in training, right?
Who was getting flawed in training?
Joe Joyce was getting dropped, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a talk, and so that was circulating a lot that he was getting dropped in sparring. So, and the only reason why I think maybe it could be true is because I'm going by Derek Chisora saying that he didn't train for the fight, and Derek is adamant.
You heard that he got floored in sparring a few times.
That's what I heard, man. That's what I heard. Mm. You know what I mean? So, but sparring, so what, right? But that's what I heard. Now, I don't know how true it is or how, but going by the performance yesterday, I think I watched a man that seemed stuck between styles and looked a bit lost. That's what I saw yesterday. You know, I really did. But I am going to be also open about it. And I do wish that Joe Joyce does return. And we'll see. J.A., seriously, I didn't make it up. I mean, I don't want to expose the person that told me. You know what I mean? But, yeah.
You know Spencer's the East Enders of boxing. You know Spencer coming like Coronation Street of boxing, where me, I don't know no one's business. I'm just hearing. I get 99% of my information about our boxes from Spencer. I'm just telling everybody know. I don't know.
So, but I'm just saying that's what I heard. I heard that he got... And what she's going to start coming out, the whispers are all going around, you know what I mean? But like I'm saying, boxing isn't easy, right? Boxing ain't easy, man. And
Do you think Joe went still?
I don't think he's still. I just think he's come up against a style that it's not him.
But,
that is it.
But this is what I'm saying, Spence. You're saying that Joe's at a certain level now, and I'm saying
why can't he drop a level to get back his confidence and go again?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying he could drop down a level. And you know, sometimes when you drop down a level, not everyone can be anti-yard and drop down a level and just blaze man, fight big man who's above his level and blaze them. Not everyone can do that. Certain man drop down to a level and they become the level that they're at.
Yeah, I think you don't know till you're trying it. I just think that, again, everyone has different ambitions and how they see the sport. And then everybody has opinions. So, I don't know. I don't think Joe dropping down a level, just at least for one fight, or maybe even two fights. You know, he's coming off two devastating blows.
I'm going to tell you the difficult thing of Joe dropping down a level, Tunde. Right?
Go on.
Is that there will be no financial reward in it. And the reason...
Hold on. Let me just stop right there. He's got paid well for the last two fights.
He must. How do you know he got paid well?
Yeah, well, Joe said it to me. This morning. He got paid. So the point is that, again, this is where does your ambition lie?
All right.
You know, do you still want to win a world title or do you just want to collect them notes? Then if that's so, so if you do still want to win a world title, then, you know, you maybe have a rebuild fight. I don't think Frank would say no for Joe having a rebuild fight. Why? You know, and then maybe go again. Maybe two. We need to look at him, you know, confidence builder. And people can't be, again, this is what I said to Joe this morning. People are never really going to know what it's like to be Joe Joyce. You know, so all this criticism that you may be getting from the outside, you just close your ears. Because you dare to be great. You took the chance when nobody was giving this guy a chance. You know, and so you just need to just relax, come again, and then we'll see. So, you know, Joe Joyce is going to do what Joe Joyce is going to do. I think he's got his family around him. He has, you know, he's got a team around him. But definitely, I don't see anything wrong with Joe having a little step down and then coming again. But of course, you know, listen, I'm in boxing for a long time. So, yeah, our team is strong again. You know, Martin, Malcolm is back with us. James Cook, Ade, Oleyinka, and myself, the team's strong. Team strong. You know, is Anthony Yard, Joel Kadua. We're moving. So, yeah, I'm sure. Listen, in time, you know, fighters will gravitate and come. So it's not that I'm here saying I'm not doing nothing. We've got trainers, so it is what it is. Dotty girl. And I'm not saying it dotty. No, it's dotty girl. Thank you for the £5. Well done, fellas. We've given Spencer a bit of boost because he's managed to stay with us, stay in there. After the little sleeping episode, he's back in this thing here. Joe Joyce versus Daniel Dubois 2. Now, that is a fight, Spencer.
Tundi, Daniel Dubois is trying to get the AJ money right now.
Daniel ain't fighting AJ. Come on.
Frank put it out and said, we would have put him in the runnings. That's the fight.
That's one fight I'm saying, don't be silly. That fight ain't happening. Daniel Dubois is not fighting Anthony Joshua. So get that out of your brain. It has never happened. It will never happen. There's more likelihood of Joyce Dubois than there is of Dubois AJ. And that's why I say that's a good shout, Alexander Wilson. And it'd be a good fight for both of them. Again, Daniel's still young. He's had two crushing defeats, one to Joe. But then this could be a good redemption fight for Daniel Dubois, and who knows? He could then get another shot at Usyk and redeem himself there. So I think this is an excellent fight, Daniel Dubois against. And it's a chance for Joe to show that the first fight wasn't a fluke. Let him do to Dubois what Zhang done to him and prove it wasn't a fluke. That is a great fight, Spencer. Joe Joyce versus Daniel Dubois 2.
I can't see it happening, though. But... Well, now it's been mentioned on our show. It could happen.
Yeah,
it could happen.
Listen, Deb's a
an avid watcher and listener of this
show. Big up Dev as well, man. Big I like how he's going.
The Michael Buffer.
And also, let me big up Hamza Faraz. I really enjoy this. I like Hamza. I like him a lot. I like his composure. I like how he carries himself as well. Kid's a gentleman. I like him, you know. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be real. If he fights Denzel Bentley, I want Denzel to break him up. But I'm just being real. I'm being real.
That's a good fight. Denzel Bentley, I spoke to him last night. Let them announce it first. But he told me he was fighting.
I like Denzel a lot, man. Good you.
Big up Denzel. I like how he's moving. Confidence is getting better. So Denzel Bentley out again. I think it's November. I think it's early November. Denzel's out. That's what he was telling me last night. And so yeah, looking forward to it, to see it. And then let's get that fight: Denzel versus Hamza Shiraz. Good fight. Moses Itoma, have to speak about the young gun.
That was a good combination.
Royce Tambani again. I'm picking up the young guns now. I'm giving you little youngers. Because little Royston's little younger brother, but we bucked two times in the hotel. He's like, turn. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, how's the aunt and everything? I said, yeah. So, bro, I've heard a lot about you as well. Little younger.
He's won bare knuckles, isn't
it? Fatter, you know?
Listen, let me tell you this, yeah. Royston Barney's dad, yeah. Lovely man, yeah.
And the mum as well.
Yeah. Let me tell you this, son. You see that family there, yeah? I like that family because I remember they came down a few years ago and they went to spa with Sugar Shy. You know that Shiloh, Shiloh De Freitas.
Yeah, Sugar Shy.
Sugar Shy. They came into spa with him, yeah. And the whole family come. They come in their van. They just come. The whole family come for the spa. I like how they roll. I love their family unit. They are really nice people as well from traveling community, but they are really, really nice people.
Yeah, yeah, they're proper, man. So
They're proper.
They're just, you know, they're great family, great unit. And the younger brother's name's Noah. And, bro, he's a hot talent as well. So big up Noah Barney.
He's a little G.
I see Noah. But what time was it? It was about, I forgot what time it was. It may have been about, it was after the fight on Saturday night. Might have been around midnight or something like that. I'm saying, bro, where are you going at this time of night? He said, bro, I'm going to get some pancakes, bro. He said, I'm going to get some pancakes. I said, yeah, come on, be young, live your life. I love that. So big up Royston, big up Noah, Barney Smith, and the father. I spoke with him. I was at breakfast. They're just a great family, and I wish them nothing but the best. So Barney Smith and Noah and Moses Atuma was fantastic last night.
Bro,
a young heavyweight.
You know what I liked about Atuma?
Go on.
The poise in how he threw his shots.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Was beautiful, right? It was beautiful. Not only that, but I also like the condition of what he looked in.
Mm.
He looked in very good condition.
The shape is starting to form. He's only 18 years old. You know, talk about him sparring with AJ when he was 17 and doing very well. His future's bright. He just needs to stay on course, you know. And I think we may have something special on our hands. He's quite small for a heavyweight when you consider the size of some of these guys. But maybe we're entering back into the era of the smaller heavyweights.
Because the equilibrium is better on the smaller heavyweights than these big gigantic man. Tyson Fury is a law unto himself, right?
Yes.
But it seems like we could be. Hopefully, we do go back to those days. I wouldn't mind seeing those days.
Yes. 18 is very young, Spence.
Bro, telling you. Very young.
And he's skilled. I know he's in a rush. He wants to step up. But one thing nobody can say about Frank is that he hasn't got a history of building fighters and bringing them through properly. So let's hope the same thing will happen for Moses Atuma and his brother. Let's not forget Carol. Carol was the one we was all talking about first until that little slip up.
Mm.
You know,
So he has to come back. Maybe his confidence has dipped a little bit since then. But he's, again, the young lads on a mission. And so sometimes I think it's good for young people to fall over. You know, if you don't fail, you ain't trying to do anything.
Trust me.
If you, you have to fail, yes, that means you're trying to attempt something. So never look at failure as not being part of the journey. Spence, I think that's enough. I think we've spoke about everyone. We've spoke about the young. And let's big up young Alloys. I know his fight wasn't televised. I don't think his fight was televised because he was a floater.
What round did he win?
Bro, 38 seconds, bro. It's easy.
I'm trying to say that was a little monster. Bro,
when we come into the thing, sorry, when we came into the venue, I said to, we went in to get the medicals, or Anthony went in to get the medicals. I said, hold on, what? And what? The trainers are getting medicals now. Some fat brother. I said, what? Trainers are getting medicals. He said, no, that's not the trainer. That's a fighter. That happened to be Aloisi's opponent. Anyway, suffice to say,
some other cruiserweight boy on the show as well.
Cruiserweight. Tommy Fletcher, young Tommy Fletcher.
Because them two, they're beefing, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently they're beefing. That's a fight that can be built up.
Yep.
So young Tommy Fletcher, I think the 6 foot, he must be about 6 foot four or five at least. He's tall.
He's 6'6", son.
6'6", southpaw. 6'6",
cruiserweight.
A southpaw cruiserweight. Wow. I don't know how they're fitting all this weight into these
but
giants.
Let me tell you about this Alloys you, yeah, Ton.
Yes.
And I was speaking to him with Jonathan Pallar when we were down at the gym. I said, that kid wants to fight. Because when I see him walk onto the, he's like beating up his chest. He's like, yeah, he wants to fight, bro. So big up, yeah, you know what I mean? Who's it? It's Barry that trains him, isn't it?
Yes, Barry.
Barry Smith. You know what I mean? Barry Smith trains him.
Martin, it's actually Martin Malcolm who's back with us where he belongs. So Martin's back with us in the team. Martin started with us and he's back with us. So yeah, Martin was the main first trainer for Alloys. Now
he's not anymore, in it.
Nah, which is unfortunate. Okay. But it happens.
It's boxing.
But well done, you know, listen. Anyone who's around me, the vibe's got to be, it's just love. It's all love, you know. And if a man goes a separate way, then it is what it is. You just have to get on with what you're doing and wish him nothing but the best. So hence why I'm bigging up Alloys and congratulating him on his victory, even though he's been a cheeky little git in the past, saying things about me. But again, I'm showing these youngers.
Yeah, I'm showing we don't even need to entertain the conversation.
No, it's good. You have to teach them, bro. I keep telling them, man. you olders, you can't keep on blaming these younger generations and you're not correcting them. Because it's going to keep doing what they're doing. But at least if you show them a little light where they've gone wrong, then, you know, it's up to them again. So I'm showing, man, that you can disrespect me. I don't carry feelings for no one. You understand? You can disrespect me. It's cool. I'm still going to be laughing. I'm still going to have my fun. And I'm still going to show you love when I see you. So I'm still going to show and support my young brother, Alloys. And I wish him nothing but the best. He was a winner yesterday. He knocked out the brother, 38 seconds. And he's a problem. He's a problem. Yeah, you know that snaps. You know back in the day when these young guns, this you just give him a little conk in the forehead. Conk, remember, man, you just get a conk in the forehead. To madden them down. Well, you can't do that nowadays because these young ones, they will take something out and bang you back.
Good.
But yeah.
Well, anyway. I'd like to continue, but my battery's running out. I'm on.
Yeah. We know you ain't got the juice to carry on, but it doesn't matter.
That's right. I ain't got the juice because I want to go to my bed right now.
You know what All me? Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gone almost an hour over time, but thank you. Still got 612 on the live. Press the like button, press the subscribe button. You know that The Fight Is Right is the award-winning podcast. The show them the thing, Spence. Are the things right there? I showed them the thing.
It's called the Golden Lion Award, Tundi.
There you go. It was meant to be.
As you can see, The Fight Is Right podcast.
Come on.
All right.
Come
on. So big up every single person that voted. And on that note, that's right. I'm looking like Zhang right now, for real. I'm going to my bed, bro. How about that one?
I'm saying, look at your eyes are looking like Zhang. Cool. Ladies and gentlemen, no. Before I sign off, let me just say thank you to a few people that have been with us. Mind Mastery, as always. Trevor OJ, Half Past Fashion, the lovely Half Past Fashion. ND. Dotty Girl, Tartan 360, King Bear, Kurt Campbell, Red Rose, Mind Mastery, Richard Brown, Snaps, Trevor OJ, Thomas J. Riley, Philip Ansar, Zach Katz, Checkmate 734, Bobby Wright, the one and only, Tartan 360, Snaps, I've said that already, SA, Yeba, Country Done. I was saying to myself, where's Country? I even seen Country in the comments, but he's there. You know, Country's he has to be there. Adifisan, I see ya. Big Blazer 80, Skyliner, the editor. He's with us. JA2 Bless, iBoxing Hub. The list goes on and on. Kurt Campbell, I think I've said that. Wilo Mofire. Yeah. Too much to mention. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure having you all on with us this Sunday evening, and we are about to end the show in exactly the same way we started. We started it with the magical words of dream it, believe it, become it.
Come on up.
Some little voodoo dolly right there. You'll be putting some oil on the thing tonight. Yeah, Crescent. Yeah, listen, man. Great show, Spence. Listen,
it's a power, see you in the week. Yeah, everyone. Man. See you definitely in the week. And we'll see what's going on. So peace, two fingers. Everyone have a blessed week. Thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday evening. I'm out. I'm going to my bed. Tundi's going to get his eyes red again. I don't know what he's...
Sports Social Podcast Network.